You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
We started teaching Wednesday night on Numbers 13 on the 12 spies that went out to spy out the land, and really went in great detail on that 13th chapter, just took it verse by verse, talked about who these spies were, if they were leaders, they were princes, they were rulers, they were chiefs among the tribes. I think a lot of times we miss that in that story. We think that God just told Moses to pick out 12 guys. Well, no, he picked out the rulers of the tribes. They were actually the head of the tribes. They were the princes and the chief leaders of the tribes. Joshua and Caleb were amongst them. And they were to go spy out the land of Canaan. They're at Kadesh Barnea. They're going to cross the Jordan, go into the land of Canaan, and just spy it out. The land that he said, God said, that I give to you. Everybody say, God gave it to them. Okay. They were never to go out there to spy it out to see if they could have it. They were to go spy it out to see what it was like, what the people were like, what the cities were like, what the fruit of the land was like. In other words, just kind of get a strategy, a battle plan, which way they were going to go, who they're going to take first, which direction they were going to go. Just war plans, I guess you could say. Winning, well, winning was assured. Victory, they should have been confident in that. God gave it to them. In life, you and I have battles. We heard about some battles just a while ago in that testimony Donna Gale gave of Reggie. Travis could tell you some stories about battles. Life's full of battles, but also where there's battles, there's victory. There's great victory. Life has crisis. Life has down days. Life has opposition. Life has challenges. There's a couple ways you can look at it. You can say my life is just one challenge after another, or you can say my life is one victory after another. You could say, well, my life is just one test after another, or you could say, well, my life is one testimony after another. See, if we'll trust God, we can get through those things. I mean, we can't change everything. We can't change everybody, but we can win. When we come out, God still loves us. He's for us. He's not against us. And we've got to watch our attitude going into a situation. Really, how you start out a situation or start out an endeavor or start out a project or a goal, your attitude going into it's going to determine your outcome. That's why it's very important when you start something to know that you know that you know that God's bigger than this, that he can handle this, that his promises are true. No matter how insurmountable the mountain may seem, God's bigger than this mountain. Are you with me? No matter how great the crisis or the challenge, God is still bigger than this. And if he said he'd do it, he'll do it. Hallelujah. Are you with me? We don't deny the facts. We don't deny the challenge. We don't deny the reality of opposition and the evidence, as it were. But our future is not determined by evidence, and it's not determined by circumstance. It's not determined by challenges. Our future is determined by our faith. It's determined by how we go into the things. Now, what happens to us is what we do when it happens to us that determines our destiny. The 14th chapter is after the 14th chapter of Numbers is after they had their hissy fit and their shouted their doubt and unbelief and decided they weren't going to have what God said they could have and decided to believe the rulers and the leaders instead of God's word, decided to believe the circumstances instead of God's word. In life, you always have choices. You can believe what you're looking at. It's not to say it's not real, but it doesn't, it's not, you know, I often heard people say, well, I just let the facts speak for themselves. I let the evidence speak for itself. I'm sorry, but facts and evidence don't say anything. They're not, all they could tell you at best is what happened. They can't tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah. Amen.
And yet too many times something happens to us and we'll take it as a predictor of the future. And yet it cannot predict the future. It cannot tell you whether your life's going to be good or bad just because a tragedy happened. That happened today. Events are impersonal. Don't personalize events. Failure is impersonal. Failure is an event, not a person. Don't take it personally. People have failed, but they're not failures. People have lost, but they're not losers. We're winners. An event or a tragedy may take place, but that's not our destiny. That's not our future. Don't let that steal your destiny and steal your future. Don't let it become a forecaster, a seer, or a prophet. It's just facts. It's just things that happen. What you do with them determines your destiny and determines your future. Let me tell you something. I don't know what's happened to you, but you can pray, and God can move on your behalf, and God can turn it around. Hallelujah. He can make it different and make it all right if you will trust him, if you will trust him and call on him. When everything says no and God says yes, go with God. Amen? God knows better. And even when everybody's against you, if the Lord stands with you, you can't lose. Because if God be for you, who cares who's against you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen? And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
We're not denying the reality of the evidence. We're not denying the reality of the facts. We're not denying the challenge, the battle, the crisis. We're denying its right to lord it over our lives. We're denying its right to determine our destiny. We have decided to let God determine our destiny. We have decided to let God's word make the difference in our life. Hallelujah. That's what these people should have done. That's not what they did. They actually went with the majority. There were 12 spies. 10 came back with a bad report. 2 came back with a good. The majority's not always right. Some people say, well, everybody else is doing it. You know, you used to say that when you were a kid. Remember that? When you're trying to do something your parents didn't want you to do? Remember that ploy? Oh, come on, Daddy. Everybody else is doing it. Well, generally, when I hear that, that's a pretty good indication I don't want my kid to do it. Hello? That was always a big, that was a flag for me anyway. That never worked with me because that meant to me, oh, that's something we're not going to be doing then. If everybody else is doing it, it must be wrong. Because the majority usually is wrong, if you want to know the case. In fact, do you want to be a majority or minority during the flood? Would you like to be a majority or minority of Judgment Day? Majority or minority at the crucifixion of Jesus? Let's take it down to what we're teaching on. Would you like to be the majority, the minority in Numbers 13? At Kadesh Barnea. And here's God's people. These are God's people, okay? Just because there's a church and just because people love God doesn't mean we can't have problems and strife in church. Stay with me. We have to be cautious and guard against that because many times there's a pull even within churches to keep us from going forward, keep us from going to the next level. Are you with me? And so here, I mean, I don't know. You know, some people say, well, Moses just wasn't a good leader. Well, I don't know. He's the one God picked out. I heard it said this way one time. I thought it was pretty good. Would you follow a man or would you follow a leader or a minister that had a work, huge work, and a third of his people just left? And then he went and started another mission work with a couple, and it completely fell apart. And he had to go back and try to fix that situation. We lost it completely. He had to go back and try to fix that. And the person he sent to go fix it, at one point everybody left that person. And finally got it all back together, you know, at one point. Is this the kind of leader you want to follow? I think most people would say no. But the problem with that is that's God I'm talking about. Yeah. God had a third of the angels fall. And he started a new work called Earth with Adam and Eve and completely lost that. And he sent someone, his son, to bring it back around. And at one point, everybody forsook Jesus. There's only 12 of them left, and one of them betrayed him. And all the crowds left him. Now, in our mind, we'd be saying, well, maybe God could have done something better. Hello. See, the reality is there's opposition in the world, and there's strife, there's things that you have to battle, and there's doubt, and there's unbelief, and there's a pull to not believe God, not trust God, not go with God, not go with His plan. Even us as Christians in church have to deal with that. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. We have to decide if we're going to be with Caleb or Joshua, or say be with the majority or the crowd. I want to go with God. How about you? Amen? And go with the way he's got it set up. Well, what happens is they begin to talk themselves out of what God said they could have. And the Bible says they brought up an evil report of the land which they went out to spy. And really an evil report is just a report that says you can't have what God says you can have. Anytime you believe you can't have what God says you can have, that's a bad report. That's an evil report. You don't need to go with that. There's always an evil report, but you need to decide you're going to believe the report of the Lord. If you count up the verses here in Numbers, the 13th chapter, where the 10 spies brought back the bad report, one thing they said good, the land that we saw does flow with milk and honey. It's a good land, but nevertheless. And then five more verses, they dissed the land, as we say. They weren't disking it and cultivating it. They were dissing it, disrespecting it. And you cannot talk negatively 5-1 in your situation and believe God one out of six scriptures or one out of six statements or one out of six prayers and expect to get a miracle. Not going to happen. You got to change what you say about your situation. You got to change what you're praying about the situation. You can't just put a little unbelief in there with your belief. They don't mix. Caleb immediately said, let's go up at once and possess it. We're well able to overcome it. He had another spirit in him. Caleb was ready to overcome this situation, overcome these giants, overcome these walled cities. They were nothing compared to God. Their perspective was all messed up, the spies that had the negative report. They said they were like giants in our sight, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Good question is, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as saved? Joe Christian? Hello? Born again? Promises of God on your side? God on your side? Hello? Or do you see yourself as just insignificant? Ineffective? No purpose, spinning your wheels? Don't buy the lie. You're important. You count. You're somebody. You have a destiny. And God doesn't want you to throw it away. He doesn't want you to buy the lie. The devil would like to deceive you and keep you from being effective in the kingdom of God. You know, the devil would have loved International Outreach Church not to come together, not to be. He would love every church not to come into existence. Are you with me? Because he knows what a force a church is when people start getting together and believing and pooling their faith and their resources. I mean, they affect a community. We've had an impact on our community. A lot of churches in our town have done that. That has happened because people have joined together and have not gone back to Egypt, but they have gone forward and gone to the promised land. Hallelujah. They believed what God said, and they hung in there with it, and they stayed with it. Old people come and go, but it's the people that stayed with it and made it happen that made the difference in a community and, of course, ultimately in the state and the world. We're reaching the world from Wells Point, Texas. Amen? Amen. These are things you have to guard against when you read this 13th chapter and 14th chapter. The negativity, the criticism, the speaking out of pain, speaking out of loss, speaking out of emotions. We all deal with emotions and we deal with pain. Just don't let it determine your future. Sometimes we get staggered by the insurmountable, seemingly insurmountable goal in front of us, the mountain in front of us. How could that ever be? I guess if we started the church, if God said, this is where we're going to be in 25 years, this is what I want you to believe, it may have been just more than we could have handled. But we stayed in there with it. We did it step by step. We ate that elephant one bite at a time. We put in that mile of fence one post at a time. And we didn't quit. We didn't turn back. We kept going. And you know, one day you get down to the end of that fence, you look back, and you, wow, man, we put in a lot of fence posts. Or, wow, there's not much of this elephant left. I don't really like that analogy. I don't think I'd like elephant. But anyway, you know, you just stay with it. You stay with it. You stay with it. And God shows up time and time again. You hit one obstacle, then hit another obstacle, hit another challenge, hit another challenge. But you know, God got you through the last one. He'll get you through this one. We had a testimony we talked about from the last deal. We're going to have one for this one too. Amen? I mean, I think of what Donna Gale shared here today. I mean, think about that. Just one thing after another. You think at some point you just finally throw your arms up and say, forget it. It's worth it. It's not worth it. I just can't seem to win. No, you are winning. You've been winning one at a time. Next thing comes, you're going to win over that deal. Next thing comes, you're going to win over that deal. I mean, I think of Donna Gale and Ridge. They didn't quit. They didn't just give up. Every time they'd say, let's pray. We're believing this. We're going to believe this. We're going to believe that. Hello? And they say a lot of naysayers would come along because those that row the boat don't have time to rock it. But a lot of naysayers come along and says, oh, give it up. Come on, we just prayed about that. Look at this. Now this is happening. Yeah, but what we prayed about, God did, didn't he? And we're going to pray about this one, and God's going to take care of that too. Oh, man, I just seem like we just got out of this. Now I got this. Well, hey, we got another testimony. I mean, what kind of attitude is that? I mean, I think about school. You go to school, you take tests. You don't just get up one week and say, wow, finally got that test over with, never have another one. No, you start studying because you know another one's coming. And you go from passing one test to passing another test to passing another test. Woo, hallelujah. Well, 14th chapter, y'all found it? I want to give you plenty of time to get there. I'd like to take this last 10 minutes and preach the message. But, no, actually, I've been preaching it up to this point. This is helping you. You know, you need to shake yourself. We live in a fallen world. Don't forget it. This is a broken, fallen world. But God is big, great, good, awesome, powerful. Amen? And he's bigger than what you're facing. He's greater than what you're facing. His word is true. Don't give up on God and his word. 14th chapter says all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. In other words, they believed what the 10 spies told them. They gave up. They began to weep and cry for what had not happened yet. They began to moan and groan and worry for what had not transpired or taken place. You know, worry is really a debt you pay on it, or interest you pay on a debt you don't owe. It's like rocking in a rocking chair. Your lot's going on there, but you're not getting anywhere. And you're not going anywhere at all. You're not going anywhere. You just, you know, so we tend to do that, but that's wrong. It's wrong to do that. Worry is a sin in that respect. I'm not going to hell because of it. Don't get me wrong. Don't go out and call everybody a heretic, start worrying. We're just saying worry is a sin because you're not believing when you worry. Now, it's going to come, and the devil's going to try to get you depressed and down. And, you know, you're going to have days like that where it seemed like maybe you gave in or whatever. But get back up. Just get back up. You know, I love the saying, I'm never down. I'm either up or I'm getting up. Amen. Yeah. I mean, you might have had your feet knocked out from it, but get back up. Get back up. Maybe you're overwhelmed by it. Maybe it hit you. Maybe you were sucker punched, didn't see it coming. And, you know, it caught you off guard, whatever the case may be. But you know what? Come on, let's come to our senses now. Let's be still. Let's know that God is God, that He's bigger than this. Let's get our wits about us. Let's stop and let's pray. Amen? And let's don't let this ruin our life. Let's get on top of it. It may take some time. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some prayer, some faith. You may need some help. You may need to get us to pray. But God's bigger than this. You can get through this. There's no crisis, no battle He can't handle. Amen. There really isn't. He's greater, far greater than anything you'll ever face. And you don't want to give in to the thing and let it ruin your life. They were taking this whole hog, as we say. They weren't weeping before the Lord. They weren't shouting and crying in the presence of God. They were weeping because of doubt and unbelief. And they had internalized it. They had given up on their future and thrown away their dream, all because of a report that 10 men brought back when God had told them they could have it. All because of circumstances they saw, they thought the Word of God was no longer true and they could not have what God promised them because of an event that took place, a crisis, a report that they heard. Your life's not over. Are you with me? And maybe something tragic has happened to you. Life's full of tragedy, but your life's not over. You can get back up. God can put the pieces back together. He is the greatest retailer, I guess, that the world put it all back together in your life. He can put the pieces back together. But you got to hand them to Him, see? You got to come to Him with them. Well, they wept all night. Had what we call a pity party. Can't even say it. A pity party. You know what a pity party is? Only two people show up to those. You and the devil. So, it says they wept all night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses, because that's kind of natural. You know, it's got to be somebody else's fault. Can't be mine. And it's got to be somebody that is in leadership. It can't be me. It's got to be the government. Maybe it's the government. It's that president. Let's get another one. Because really, we need somebody else. We're tired of complaining about the one we have. We need somebody else to complain about it. Hello. I mean, it's always that way. I don't care who's in or who's out. We need change. We need change. Yeah, we do. But we need change in here. We don't need change out there. We need change the inside. Everybody talks about change, 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 change. Change's not always good. Sometimes change is bad. When you're doing good and you lose everything, that's a big change. But that's a change down. That's going bad, wrong way. I think if any change needs to take place, it's in us. All of us need to change. When we face a crisis, we want to assess blame, and anywhere we can point that finger besides us is acceptable. Hello? We never really want to take responsibility. But if we'll take responsibility and say, you know what? I can believe God. I can trust God. This is all unfair, and it's not right, and I understand that. And maybe I have been hurt. Maybe I was a victim. But it doesn't really matter. All that matters is that I can believe God and I come out of this. Maybe my parents didn't raise me right. I don't know. I hope they did. But you know what? It's up to you now. Whatever happened, happened. Today, it's up to you. What are you going to do? You're going to believe God? You're going to stand up? You're going to trust God? You're going to be responsible and turn your life over to Him and serve Him and allow Him to move in your life? Put your faith and trust in Him? Listen, life's not fair. And everybody in the world's not fair. And everybody in the world's not right. If you don't believe that, you don't get out much. But that doesn't change God. God's still good. And God's word is still true. Are you with me? Everything that happens in life is not always perfect. It's not always great. And it's not always good. You know why? Because God's not behind everything that happens in life. Don't buy that lie. Now, a lot of people have said that from the pulpit, that God's behind everything. He's not. There's a devil out there. There's God, and then there's you. Sometimes it's God, sometimes the devil, sometimes it's you. Sometimes we found the enemy and he is us. Hello. In this case, they were the problem. There's no question they were the problem, because there were some that did believe and some that didn't. And God remained the same. Didn't back off what he said. He still meant what he said. So it says here, I'm not getting real far here, but y'all must need this. Second verse, and the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. If only we had died in this wilderness. I've heard people say, God cursed the day I was born. You know, man, don't let that come out of your mouth. What are you talking about? Man, I had it better before I got saved. Now, I know you've never said that. I'm just saying, hello. I've heard people say things like that. Man, if I had never taken that church, or if I'd never become a part of that church, or if I'd never done this, or I'd never done, oh, get over it. Come on. Get over it. Listen, I've heard pastors say, well, you know, I just wish I had a real job out there somewhere. I have to deal with all these people. I'm thinking, where is that? Where are you going to go and not deal with people? What kind of job is that? I never heard of a job like that. I don't care what job you're on. You got people you work with and work for, work under. I mean, there's people. We had a big conference down in Lakewood one time. Brother Osteen passed out, handed out, you know, cards to all the ministers. It was a minister's conference with questions, questionnaires. And what's your biggest problem in church? I just put people. Now, stay with me. I'm not mad at you. Stay with me. Your biggest asset, people. Your biggest blessing, people. Your greatest help, people. Your greatest challenge, people. It's always people. People's what it's all about. I could put in there, me. G.K. Chesterton, he was a great author. You know, he wrote, the New York Times had requested from him. He was a great essayist and a critic, and wrote some religious writing too. This is way back in the early 1900s. And they were questionnaire to ask him, G.K. Chesterton, what is wrong with the world? He sent back a card and says, me. Yours truly, G.K. Chesterton. We're all wrong with the world. Are you with me? But we can get it right if we'll come to God. Amen. We can get it straight. Hallelujah. I know you're thinking. I'm just, it's getting real quiet in here. But we won't blame everything and everybody. We had this happen. We had that happen. We had this happen. We had that happen. Oh, come on. Get over it. Get over it. Get over it. Everybody has stuff happen to them. In fact, if you want to know the truth, there's probably somebody's going through something worse than you're going through. Always somebody. Come on. You know. The trick is, or the key is, let's trust God. Let's turn it over to God. We can rise above it. Amen?
Amen.
Impossible? Oh, come on. Get rid of that word. Take it out of your vocabulary. There was an Adidas ad one time in the ESPN magazine. I can't remember exactly how the quote goes, but it talked about impossible. Impossible is a word thrown around by weak men who don't want to change their world and they want to accept status quo. Impossible is just a possibility. It's an opportunity. Impossible is nothing. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him that believeth. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's going on, but I know this. God can move on your behalf. This seemed like an impossible situation. They had given up. And you know what? They got what they believed. They really did. There were those that said they couldn't, and there were those that said they could, and they were both right. In fact, the ones that said they couldn't. And the ones that said they could. Listen, what a hero, Caleb and Joshua. What a man. They had to wait 40 years to get this, but they got it. They waited, and they were faithful, and they hung in there. And 40 years later, they went into the land of Canaan. And they never gave up, and they never quit, and they never stopped saying they could have it. In fact, when they crossed the Jordan River in the book of Joshua, they went in, they took Jericho and Ai and several other cities. And then after they began to settle all the tribes, 5 years of fighting, so 45 years later, Joshua got all the tribes together, and he was going to settle where everybody was going to go, you know. And Caleb comes up and he said, I'm 85 years old today. So he was 40 at Kadesh Barnea. Because they wandered 40 years, they fought five, and then he's 85. He says, I'm 85 years old today. My eyes are not dim, nor my strength abated.
That's right.
He says, you remember, Joshua, when we stood there at Kadesh Barnea and they brought back that evil report. You remember we brought word that was in our heart when they talk about those giants. And he says, Joshua, give me that mountain. I want those giants. 45 years later, he's still wanting those giants. Hadn't changed his confession, hadn't changed his faith, hadn't wavered. He was still there, fought a lot of battles, and still waiting on the giants, the sons of Anak, in those walled cities. And he did. He went out there and got it. His nephew Othniel was the first judge of the book of Judges. He went in and conquered it and took those giants. Woo! My goodness. He had another spirit in him, is what the Bible says. He had another something else inside of him, God's Word. The Bible says they brought back word to Moses and Aaron. They brought back word to the congregation. It's very important what words you bring back from a situation. This happened, that happened, that happened. Now you've got to bring back word. What words are we going to bring back? You know, this happened, that happened, but God. This is going on, that's going on, but God. God's Word says. So whatever's in your heart obviously is going to come up. And all the situations and crises and circumstances do is they don't define you, they reveal you. Circumstances don't make us. They don't shake us. They don't break us. They just reveal us. They bring out what's already in us. Sometimes through circumstances and crisis and tragedy, we realize we need to do some changing. We need to get in faith. Sometimes we get rattled too much and we realize, you know what? I'm not believing like I ought to be believing. This shouldn't rattle me like this. So crisis doesn't define us. It reveals us. So we see what was in their heart when they came back. Josh and Caleb had a good report. The other ones had bad. Anyway, it goes on and says this, and I'll bring this to a close. Is this helping you?
Yes.
Okay, good deal. I know you're thinking of somebody who should have been here. They needed this. Well, it says here in the third verse, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? You know, you're in a crisis. Not only is everything going wrong and everybody's against you, now you start thinking God's against you. Hello. You got to watch this. These are things you got to watch. These are things you got to guard in your heart, because a lot of times something's going bad and it seems like it goes from bad to worse. And then you start thinking, well, you know, God's, what is God doing here? Well, God's not doing it. Actually, God had done nothing to them, period. They just heard a bad report. They hadn't done anything. And already they just start rattling with their mouth. They start prophesying the future. Start believing for the worst case scenario. You ever done that? I just can't seem to get it. I guess the whole thing's just going to fall all to pieces. Before long, you rolling. I mean, in the worst place is in the car by yourself talking to that windshield as you're driving down the road. I mean, there's anointing that comes in that car, and it's not from God. Before long, you're not just mad at the situation. You're not mad at this person, that person. Then you start getting on the leadership, and then you're on God. Then you're mad at God, and God didn't do it. There's a progression here. Are you with me? Of offenses and hurts, and, you know, you don't get over it. You don't grab the word. You start lashing out. I mean, you know, it's kind of like being snake bit. We've used this example before. You ever, when a person is bit by a snake, they fill with poison. They fill up. You know, you can they swell. You can see their hands swell if they've been bit. Well, offense is like that. Bitterness is like that. If you don't let that, you got to shake that off. When Paul stuck his hand at the Isle of Malta in the book of Acts, when he stuck his hand into some sticks there, they're gathering some sticks, a snake bit his hand. He shook it off, which is what you've got to do too when a snake tries to bite you, the snake being the devil, and bite you with bitterness or unbelief, because if you don't shake it off, you'll start swelling up. And everybody around you can see it. You puffed up. Boy, I mean, you... Here you go. Man, you start talking to somebody that's bitter. Woo, man, you can tell they are puffed up. They're bloated. They need to shake it off. And you get some poison out of them. But the longer it's there, the worse it gets. See, and that's what happened. You can see progressively how they started, man, they were mad, they were upset, they were hurt, they started lashing out, talking about Moses, and then they started talking about God. And then they said, let's get another leader. Woo! Like that's going to solve the problem. That happens so many places, you know, person won't get right, and they won't serve God, and they decide, well, I'll just go to another church. Surely someplace I can go where they don't live for God. There's got to be a place out there that I don't have to get right, that I could go to church and not get right, you know. I'm sure there are. There probably are a bunch of churches like that. It's like that guy on that island, you know. They, after 20 years on this island, they finally rescue him. You know, he's got these three huts there. And they said, well, man, what are these three huts? He said, well, that one in the middle is my house. I said, oh, okay, that's good. What's the other two? He says, well, on the right is the church I go to. Well, what's the one on the left? He says, oh, that's the church I used to go to, but I got tired of going there. Some people leave for any reason, you know. Okay. Let me see if there's some way I can stop this. I don't know, Will. Not going to get very far here. But anyway, fifth verse, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, who obviously so. That, you know, they probably took it a little personally. They didn't do a good job leading these people, didn't sound like. But, you know, really, there was just some people that wouldn't be led. There's some people just wouldn't get right. And that happens, and that's sad. And that's not a cop-out. It's not an excuse. Pastors can go sour, can go bad. Anybody can go bad. But even the best of people, there's always somebody that's just not going to conform. It's not going to change. Not going to change their attitude. You know, as Thomas Jefferson said, that a man with the right attitude going into a project, no man can stop the man with the right attitude going into his goal. And no man can help the man that goes into a project with the wrong attitude. If you don't change your attitude, nobody can help you. No church can help you. Are you with me? And that's true even with the children of Israel. It was true with the disciples of Jesus, even when you think about it. One of them absolutely betrayed him. They all left him at one time. So all of us, me included, the pastor, we have to check our own attitude here. Amen? And see that we're in the faith. And so they cried out to God, which is the right thing to do. In the sixth verse, Joshua, the son of Nun, didn't have any parents. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. See if you're out there. Who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. That was a sign of blasphemy. They'd heard blasphemy because people had said that God's word wasn't true, that God couldn't do what he said they could do, that they couldn't go into the land that God said they could go in. That was blasphemy. They rent their clothes as a sign of that. They spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, and he does, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. That's a good word. That's what we ought to listen to when it comes to crisis and trials and challenges. Don't fear the circumstance. Don't fear the challenge and the trial. The Lord delights in us, and he will deliver us. And he is with us. Are you with me? Yeah. See, God's looking for can-do people, not cannots. Not cannot people. Can-do people. Can-do people. You know, it's interesting. I'll wrap this up. Don't have time to get there, but if you have time to read Psalm 78, it's a fascinating psalm. It's a long psalm, but it talks about this instance. It talks about the trouble that God had with the children of Israel in the wilderness and in Kadesh Barnea. And it says over and over through there, it says they did not trust the Lord thy God. They did not believe in the Lord thy God. And then it says, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Wow. There was a book one time written by Roy Hicks. It was called The Enigma, which is a mystery or, you know, paradox. The Enigma of Unanswered Prayer. And on the front were two hands tied. They were God's hands. And the book was about how we tie God's hands by not trusting him, by not believing him. We keep him from doing what he wants to do in our lives because we won't believe and we won't trust and we won't call. They didn't go in the land of Canaan because of their own unbelief. But two did. They believed God. Amen. Joshua and Caleb. I want to be Joshua and Caleb. How about you? Amen. You know, I brought this out the other day. It was really so neat. There were 12 spies. I think any of us would be hard-pressed to remember the name of any of the other 10. The 10. Nobody even knows who they are. Their names are not common. They weren't repeated. People didn't name their kids after him. Today, still, people are naming their kids Joshua and Caleb. They're heroes. They're people that trusted God and believed God. But you don't have any Shammahs. There was a Shammah. They named a whale Shamu. There's 10 names there, and they're all strange sounding names because they weren't carried on. Woo! The memory of the just is blessed, the Bible says. Amen.